All right, a couple jokes. Fresh stuff. I don't know if it's any good. I haven't really reviewed it. Are you ready? That doesn't sound very enthusiastic. A small boy told a Hebrew school teacher, "When you die, God takes care of you like your parents did when you were alive, only God doesn't yell at you at the time." A woman invited some people to dinner. At the table, she turned to her 6-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" "I wouldn't know what to say," the little girl replied. "Just say what you hear mommy say," the mother said. The little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite so many people to dinner?" That's pretty good. A rabbi was speaking to a group of second graders about the resurrection of Yeshua when one student asked, "What did Yeshua say right after he came out of the grave?" The pastor explained that the Gospels do not tell us what he said. Then the hand of one little girl shot up. "I know what he said." He said, "Ta-da!" So I'm actually going to share on last week's Parsha the message I gave many years ago. And sometimes I like to revamp the messages, look at them, because they come out very differently, which is always interesting for me. And I always, I realize either the things that I've learned since then or the better understanding that I believe that the Lord has given me. So the title of the message is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, would only be of you. Lord, whatever is of the flesh, you would strike it. Whatever I've missed, Lord, that your Spirit would provide to me. In Yeshua's name, amen. Somewhere, right? Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of, right? Once in a lullaby. That should sound familiar. You know, some lullabies have their roots in Scripture. But today's not going to be about lullabies. But it is going to be about the closeness of God and His kingdom to us. God added, "Here is the sign of the covenant I am making between myself and you and every living creature with you, for all generations to come. I'm putting my rainbow in the cloud. It will be there as a sign of the covenant between myself and the earth." Bereshit, Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. The rainbow is not just the rainbow, and I think that most of us, if not all of us, most of the time take rainbows for granted, don't we? There's the scientific explanation of why they happen, right? But anything that happens is under God's control. And there may be a scientific explanation of why something happens, but it doesn't explain why it happened anyway or at all, right? How does the perfect circumstances within the atmosphere between hot and cold and rain and all those things come together to create this miracle? We have no way of really explaining that. We go, "Oh, by chance, everything came together. It just all worked out." And that's how they explain the creation with the Big Bang, right? And evolution. It all just kind of came together. Out of chaos was born order. That is not possible. Science has proved, if you really look at science, order does not come out of chaos. You can't create order out of chaos. Yet that is the foundation for the Big Bang and evolution. The rainbow was and is meant to encourage us with hope. It's a sign that God is ever vigilant, that God has made promises that He will not break, and He's made promises that indeed He will keep. I saw the people on earth, they were very wicked, that all the imaginings of their heart were always of evil only, Genesis 6:5. It says in verses 6 and 7 that Adonai regretted making us. Well, how sad is that? He had thoughts of wiping us out completely. Wasn't the first time either. But for Noah, he didn't do it because of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. That was enough. One righteous guy for the Lord to not totally crush the creation at that point. In fact, we find a parallel with that in Moshe, don't we? Where Moses stepped in and said, Lord, take me. If you're going to take them out, take me. We do take for granted all the miracles that we see around us. And this week I've had some very, very, I won't call them interesting, but discouraging conversations with some, not peers, but people that I work with through the Civil Air Patrol that I'm amazed that they're churchgoers for 60 years in this case and what they believe or what they don't believe. Had other conversations with people that just don't believe that humankind is wicked. We are wicked. If we weren't, we wouldn't need a Savior. It's not meant for us to self-destruct or destroy ourselves, but that we would recognize how desperate we are in need of reconciliation with God. And yes, the first step to reconciliation is recognizing that we need help and only Yeshua can do it. And the rainbow is a sign that the Yeshua, he's there. He's ever vigilant, ever present, ready to come and be beside us. I remember once chasing a rainbow when I lived in Florida. You know, you figure, man, that looks pretty close. I don't know if anybody's ever done that, but I tried to do it. I think Rangina was with me, and we drove for that rainbow. And it kept moving farther and farther away. Of course, I think my motivation was the pot of gold, right, at the end of the rainbow. You know, I'm going to get that pot of gold. But it's always just a little bit out of reach, right? In the human terms, all those things like pot of gold, they're just out of the reach of us. Because the problem is the pot of gold is Yeshua. And he is attainable. He is reachable. But when we look past the real gift, we end up chasing rainbows. We don't have to chase the rainbow. Noah found grace in the sight of Adonai, chapter 6, verse 8. And in the grace offered Noah, we find a seed that is planted. And the seed that is planted is us. The future of mankind is planted in Noah. Because God has hope. God is an eternal optimist. I'm sure he's up there sometimes and maybe many times going, oy vey, oy, 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 I don't want to look anymore, right? But God is an eternal optimist. Years ago, I used to term myself as an optimistic pessimist. I was positive everything would go wrong. But God is the opposite of that. God is the eternal optimist that his plan will work. Well, why? Because he kind of made it and he's in charge, so it does work. Some of us might say that's cheating the system, but God is the system. Oh, great. Thank you. You know, there's some interesting things about rainbows. You can only see it when the conditions are exactly right. Sometimes you see it, it goes away, and then you kind of go like that. Oh, yeah, I can still see it. You know, you got to get that effect in the sky and with the mist and the moisture. But you can only see it when conditions are right. In the natural sense, when water, vapor, and light interact, it causes this prism, right? That reveal the colors of the spectrums that we normally can't see. But God created them with a supernatural promise. Because the rainbow is a sign of a supernatural process. It's not a natural sign. It's a supernatural sign. Apparently, before this moment in Noah, there would never have been a rainbow. Rainbows are created. They are not scientific. They are not of nature. They are supernatural. God provided a way for mankind to see that God is ever present. It isn't a matter of fact of science and why rainbows work. The matter is that God created it at that moment and gave it as a sign. Amen? That is different than just saying, oh, look how nice that is that God created it. God created it out of nothing. It is not part of the original creation. God is always doing different things. Rainbow that was presented to Noah and his family was the first of its kind. Usually when we see something or hear something for the first time, it gets our attention usually, right? You know, you go, oh, I've never experienced that. Never seen that. Never smelled that. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow is seen in the cloud, I will remember my covenant which is between myself and you and every living creature of any kind. The water will never again become a flood to destroy all living beings. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 9, 14 and 15. So this rainbow is not just about God revealing to us and reminding us of what he's doing, but he also looks at it to remind himself of what he's promised. That's interesting. Why did God say that? He's God. Why does he need to make that proclamation? Well, it's there so that we understand God's heart and that we can understand that God is ever vigilant over us and he is never going to break the promises that he makes. God doesn't really need a reminder, but he wants us to know that he's watching, he's looking, and he's seeing. And when he presents a rainbow, it's for a purpose. It's not just because water vapor got all in the right place and then it created prisms and we get to see it. That is not the reason for rainbows. Some may think, well, that rainbow was special, but now they're just rainbows. I think that's a loss on our part if that's our approach. I one personally am thankful for all the signs that God gives us that he is God. Not just in the grass that I see and the birds of the air and all the animals and all you people, but that God has created something especially for us to remind us that he is faithful. We need to see beyond the physical relationship with God. The church world and the synagogue world, they've done a okay job with being in the physical relationship with God. But the spiritual relationship with God is what he's looking for. He's looking for his people to be sold out for him. It's not the things we do in a synagogue, it's the life we lead before him. We struggle with that. We struggle because we want, it's sometimes we get in this mode, and maybe it's how we're raised, that when we do things, it's like putting a notch on a gun. Oh, I accomplished something. God's not interested in you notching your gun. He's interested in growing and being refined in his testing, his fire. We need to see beyond the physical of the rainbow and see the spirit that it represents. Though as spectacular as they can be in the natural, it's beyond our understanding what they're like. Some of that is, when Judy Garland sang this song for The Wizard of Oz, that some of the phrasing in the song, it's actually amazing because the song is projecting promises beyond our understanding. Somewhere over the rainbow. What's behind the rainbow? Well, Yeshua is behind the rainbow. Sometimes we can listen to what I would term a secular song and we can find God in it. We can also find God not in it, right? Which seems to be more popular. It says that skies are blue somewhere over the rainbow. Well, if Yeshua is behind it, that's a true statement. Skies are blue. With Yeshua, everything is beautiful and wonderful. And indeed, he's projecting that onto us, that in this world that we live in the circumstances that we struggle through, Yeshua is saying, don't fear, I'm here and I'm watching and it's all going to work out. And every time we see that rainbow, we can go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. So what is over the rainbow? I'll tell you what's over the rainbow. Truth, justice, righteousness, love, perfection. That's what's over the rainbow. It's also what's in the rainbow. Yeshua is not only over the rainbow, he is the rainbow. This was the brilliance around him. He looked like a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. How the appearance of the glory of Adonai looked when I saw it. I fell on my face. Ezekiel 1:28. This is not my perception. This is what the prophets wrote. Yeshua is the rainbow. Rainbow is making an expression about God vested in us. I think maybe we can make the argument that in the whole world, there's probably always rainbows somewhere in the world every day, right? I mean, I can't prove that. But in a spiritual nature, I believe that's true. Yeshua is in the world, that means there's a rainbow in the world, or rainbows in the world. At the end of the rainbow is also Yeshua, because he is our pot of gold. Yeshua is the pot of gold. The rainbow is one of his calling cards. I'm here. Don't be discouraged. I'm here. Why is it sometimes, a lot of times rainbows come, not always, but come after a horrible storm, right? And the storm subsides and there's the rainbow. God's saying, it's okay. This too shall pass. You see, every rainbow is connected to the original rainbow. There aren't many rainbows. There's one rainbow. It's Yeshua. And from that first one that he created as a sign, all rainbows are connected to that rainbow. Every rainbow is an intentional creation of God for our benefit. It's something that can cross all lines of understanding or belief or traditions or whatever, that it's consistent. There's the rainbow. There it is. Kind of looks the same every time. But I don't know how about you, but many times, all the times I've probably seen them, I'm always amazed how beautiful they are. It's a bit of an irony that the rainbow has been picked for a certain lifestyle that is encouraged today. But that shouldn't turn us off of rainbows. The rainbow is a down payment on the restoration of man. It's a sign. It's a promise. That rainbow was given because God said, I will never destroy the earth again this way with water. It is a promise. The rainbow is a down payment on the renewal of man. Which is an awesome thing. If not for that, we might not be here. Whoa. God spoke to Noah and his sons with him and said, "As for me, I am herewith establishing my covenant with you, with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you. I will establish my covenant with you that never again will all living beings be destroyed by the waters of a flood, and there will never again be a flood to destroy the earth." Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. This is not just a promise or just another covenant. This is a vital covenant that God makes with all of mankind and all of animal kind. This is a critical covenant. All the covenants complement themselves, and this one is critical. Without this covenant, there can't be any other covenants. If there's nothing or nobody to make covenant with, then you have other covenants. This is a critical covenant. Bless you. Not a real sneeze, are you? The covenant is especially critical since we know that man continued and continues to break fellowship with the Lord, right? We do. We're covenant breakers. Some people don't like hearing that. In our current world conditions, me, I personally find it reassuring that our troubles melt like lemon drops when we are in the Messiah. That's one of the lines from the song. See, we're still covenant breakers. Why? If we commit one sin, we are a covenant breaker. That's not to bring us down, but we do need to understand where we're at so that we can trust more and increase and improve. Yes, Yeshua's got us covered if we are working diligently on the condition of our lives. And that's why the rainbow is important, because it's reminding us that God is gracious and that God is merciful and that God is long-suffering. Isn't it great that sometimes we can understand God not by reading His Word, but looking up at the sky and seeing a rainbow and seeing the guarantee? Amen? It's such a simple task. Sometimes it's a hardship to try and go through Scripture when we're down or we're struggling or whatever, and we can bypass all that and look at the rainbow and go, "Thank you, Lord." It should be an encouragement to us. God's on the job. The rainbow will be in the clouds so that when I look at it, we know our God is never too far away from us. But you, Adonai, don't stay away. My strength comes quick to help me. Psalm 22:19, talking about the rainbow. Who's the rainbow? Yeshua is the rainbow. That's why King David is talking about it this way. He didn't know Yeshua by name, but he knew the Mashiach was coming. In fact, he knew that the Messiah was going to come out of his lineage. See, they had an understanding, at least from the writings of King David and others, they had an understanding of what the rainbow signified and what their relationship was to it. And we need that same understanding, that simple understanding that indeed our Lord is the rainbow. God is never far away from us. The rainbow is a symbol of Yeshua, not only watching over us, but being in continual relationship with us. He never forsakes us. That's the promise he made. When your life is running down and it's hard, Bunky, be encouraged. Because no matter how bad it is, God said he will be with us and he will not forsake us if we are walking with him. One of the conversations I had with this person this week, who I respect, he's a lieutenant colonel. God's not a personal God. He's been taught all his years, Church of Christ, that God's not a personal God. And Yeshua is not God. Messiah isn't God. This is Church of Christ that they've been taught there. That's pretty bizarre. I was flabbergasted. You would think if you call yourself Church of Christ that there'd be some relationship between the Messiah and God. No, he's the Son of God. Yeah, but do you understand what that means? Well, he's not God. Then why do you worship him? But see, this is what happens. He considers himself an intellectual, right? He's a scientist. He's a science-y kind of guy. So always big trouble. In Acts 2, 25 through 28, usually attributed to Luke, right? He writes, "For David said this about him, I saw Adonai always before me, for he is my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Now my body too will live on in a certain hope that you will not abandon me to Sheol, to hell, to death, or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Psalm 16, 8 to 11. Paul is quoting Psalm 16 here. And he's undergirding, he's enforcing what I said, that God will never betray us. He will never forsake us unless we forsake him. And even then, he's willing to allow us to come back. For the most part, the door is always open to the Lord to return. There's many prodigal sons and daughters. But there is a limit. God has limits of what he will allow. Do we see, in your personal relationship, do you see God, the Lord, Yeshua, do you see him at your right hand? Or does he seem far away? Me, most of the time, he's right there. I feel his presence all the time. If you don't, then that balance needs to change. If you only casually know the Lord and only spend a little time with him every year, that needs to change. That with faith, trust. The Lord has drawn close to us. Are we willing to draw close to him? Have you drawn close to him? And I'm not talking about, you know, that standard of a sinless life. None of us have a standard of a sinless life. It's not possible in the flesh. That's through Yeshua. God is God. The rainbow was created to encourage Noah and his family that it'll all be okay. My guess is there were some really tough days and evenings on the boat wondering if they were ever going to get off that gosh darn thing. Right? I mean, you can have a lot of faith, you can have righteousness, but boy, I'll tell you, we've been on here a long time. And remember, it was not just 40 days and 40 nights, it was 150 days in total. A long time. Especially, we can't even stand each other for a few hours. Imagine what it's like all that time, stuck in the boat, right? Dealing with each other. Move over. No, you give me more room. Look out. No, hey, you stink. What? Get out of here. In creating the rainbow, the Lord was showing love, compassion, and indeed instilling hope. When they land, they finally land, and they see the rainbow, and then they go, oh my gosh, this is something new. Never seen it before. Lord says, I've given the rainbow to you as a sign that I will never forsake you. I can imagine no one going, thank God, we're getting off and it's all going to work out. We got to remember, they're human beings just like us. We can go back 2,000, 3,000, 3,500 years. They're all human beings like us. May they know less? May they be simpler? Sure. I was told by the same person that the Bible isn't divine, but the people that wrote it for people that were ignorant. And he made things simple because that's all they could understand. Well, that's a half-truth. God definitely gave his word so that any man could relate to his word, but it wasn't just because they were ignorant or however you want to phrase it, but he made it simple. Well, of course, most of us don't think it's simple, right? The more we read it, go, boy, this is really deep and complicated. But the simplicity of Scripture is we can follow it. We can understand. If the Bible isn't written divinely inspired and given to the writers to write, then why would anybody carry it around? I asked the person that question. He couldn't give me an answer. I wonder what he thinks of rainbows. I didn't ask. And may our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah himself, and God our Father, who has loved us and by his grace given us eternal comfort and a good hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. That's what the rainbow is about. It's reinforcing even this scripture. That we can have eternal comfort and good hope. That we indeed will get over the rainbow. That we will be sitting on the rainbow or sitting with the rainbow. The Lord's promise of restoration is not out of our reach. God restoring mankind to a right relationship with God is not too far away. As Moses said, it's not too high in the sky, it's not too low in the depths. We can do it. We can reach that relationship with God. Yeshua has made that possible. So Moshe was being a bit prophetic, I think, because in the flesh we can't reach it. But through the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, and our desire and our willingness to trust God and love Him, we can get it. You know, we don't have to be theologians to understand and embrace the relationship with God. There's lots of depth of Scripture, but that's not necessary for the relationship. Do you understand what I mean? We can find that relationship with exactly what the Lord gives us when we read His Word through His Spirit. I'm not talking about our rationalization Scriptures or interpretations. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit gives to us the ability to understand. Through that relationship, we have a relationship with God. If we're called to be one of those that searches for other things, great, fine. But that doesn't put other people in a different position. Sometimes we're intimidated by those that know more than we know. And let me encourage you, don't worry about it because there's always going to be somebody that at least tells you they know more than you know. Right? Like, always. I'm willing to recognize people that know more than me as long as they don't throw it in my face about how my relationship is with God. If I'm following in His ways to the best of the ability that He's given me and I understand the plan, God's simple plan of relationship. I love learning. But remember, we can't boast about our relationship in God. Paul says in Romans 11, do not boast to the Gentiles. Do not boast about your relationship. None of us should boast about our relationship, but share our relationship with others so that they can have the same relationship. God is not an elitist. God is an everybody's God that are willing to humble themselves before Him, to be able to appreciate the rainbow for what it really is, and it's simplicity and its awesomeness all at the same time. The Lord's promise of restoration is not out of reach. Indeed, it is for this that we toil and strive. We have our hope set on a living God who is the deliverer of all humanity, especially of those who trust. 1 Timothy 4:10. In Genesis chapter 9, God blessed Noah and their families. It says, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The earth and all of its contents has been handed over to you." That's surely speaking of a Lord that has hope for us, right? Even with all our foibles and our struggles, it gives us a picture that God is hopeful, just as he desires that we be hopeful in our relationship with him and that we can reach the victory, that we can run the full race. The reality is, if we're all running the race, where we finish will probably all be a little different. Our race isn't Paul's. Paul's isn't ours. But we all have to run the race. And God looks at us as unique individuals, and we run the race together. As a community, we can be more together, but ultimately, we all have to run our own race. And that doesn't mean subjective. It's an objective race. We have a goal. To live a life for God and be obedient. Amen? That through our obedience to the King, that we find favor in him and that Yeshua will stand in the gap for us where we fall short. You have to run the race. Somebody else can't run it for you. Yeshua is the ultimate rainbow, and over the natural rainbow is the rainbow. And rubies and a rainbow shining like emerald encircled the throne. Next I saw the one sitting there gleamed like diamonds. Another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was dressed in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun, his legs like columns of fire. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, Revelation chapter 2. The rainbow is consistent through all of Scripture from the very first time it shows up in the Genesis story with Noah, all through Scripture. Significant. And for me, an encouragement. Hope you're encouraged. Can we fly over the rainbow where bluebirds fly? Well, not in the flesh, I don't think. But I do believe that we can join up with the rainbow of all rainbows, which would make us happy little bluebirds. We're supposed to be happy little bluebirds. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be able to be at peace, that peace that transcends all understanding, even if we're in lousy circumstances. We're supposed to have that peace. We're supposed to be happy little bluebirds. I don't really have that much experience with bluebirds, but beyond the rainbow is eternal life with Yeshua. All we need is a little endurance. Endurance produces character. We need to go through testing so that we have character being built. Like Michael and all the rest of us that suffer from things, that through the suffering, through the challenges, character is built, and that is how character gets built. It isn't just handed to you. And character produces hope, Romans 5:4. And this hope does not let us down because God's love has already been poured out in our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, Romans 5:5. The rainbow is a sign of this work in us. Yeshua's covenant to us. I wonder, I don't know if you ever experienced it. I'm not sure that I have. But I wonder if we've ever seen a rainbow and we go, hey, do you see that rainbow? Somebody goes, I don't see nothing. I don't know if that's happened or not. I don't recall. It came up as a thought. Has life got you down? Has Hasatan blocked your view of Yeshua's brushstrokes? Do we not see the rainbow in our life because Satan has worn us down? Look up into the sky after a good rain and be encouraged. God is on the throne. One more scripture from Romans 8:20. For the creation was made subject to frustration. Boy, don't we know that. Not willingly, but because of the one who subjected it. But it was given a reliable hope. This is all normal. The things that we go through and that are happening in this world are what God has ordained. He gives us the ways to know him and to persevere. Yeshua is that reliable hope. And the rainbow is his reminder. Let's all be bluebirds, trustworthy flying to the rainbow to find safe haven. May the next rainbow fill you with joy and shalom and give you peace. Amen? Amen. How can we have a message about the rainbow and not listen to Judy say it?
I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do. Wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where.